Well, it's a very good afternoon and welcome along to the Highland Radio Sports Desk. As today, Sunday the 27th of December, we recap the sporting year 2020. It certainly has been a strange year, to say the least, one which seen our lives disrupted in a way that no one ever imagined this time last year. But between all the restrictions and lockdowns, there was some sport got played somehow. How they managed to do it was the big question, but sport was played. They found the way to do it. We've seen competitions start, but they didn't finish. We did, of course, see champions crowned as well, albeit in empty venues. And we're going to recap whatever highlights there was from the last 12 months over the next number of hours here through on until 6 o'clock. Joining me will be a number of live guests from Fin Harps Football Club, Gareth Harkin. We'll also have Donegal Senior Football Manager Declan Boner, and Marie McGlynn, who's been very busy on the athletics front in 2020. Plus, towards the end of the programme, we'll be getting his thoughts on what his highlights were this year, and looking forward to 2021. And ahead of the game with Boys Sports, and our man there, of course, as always, is Leon Blanche. And joining me in studio, we've got two men of our own as well, Jeremy Doherty and Christopher Ashmore. A very good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Hi, Oisín.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, we're back in again to recap the year, guys. And I suppose, Chris, first of all, at one stage earlier this year, we thought we may not have no sport for 2020.
Yes, when we look back at the first lockdown in March and huge uncertainty, and of course, nobody even then could have forecast where we are now. I think it's fair to say back then people may have felt that come Christmas 2020, the whole thing will be behind us. Unfortunately, it's not, but at least we go into the new year with the prospect of the vaccine and maybe a couple of more bumpy months. But certainly, we are hoping and expecting there will be more sport in 2021.
Yeah, and Jeremy, all these lockdowns and breaks seem to have sort of your side, Spurs, you're going not too bad.
Yeah, going okay, Oisín, thankfully. Yeah, and back in action tonight. Oh, but it was a strange year, and you know, ahead of today's show, you're thinking about, you know, the year that went past and the 12 months that we experienced. And, you know, at the end of the day, the health of the general public was the most important thing. And, you know, no matter what player you spoke to or interviewed during the year and team managers, they all alluded to that fact that, you know, while people missed their sport, people missed their game at the weekend, at the end of the day, the health and safety of people was the most important factor, and that came across very strongly.
Yeah. We've got a competition today as well, guys. Up for grabs, we've got a signed Republic of Ireland jersey from the Euro 2012 Championship, where Ireland lost out to Croatia in Poznan in June of that year. It's signed by the Republic of Ireland team, and we have to thank Aidan McNeilis at Fin Harps and indeed Cathy Taff as well at the club for providing the jersey for us. It was part of an agreement we'd done with the club for a feel-good October, and we decided to keep the Republic of Ireland jersey until the season review at the end of the year. So we've got that to give away today on the programme. We're going to open up the text lines now. It's by text only. 086 60 25,000, and the question's very easy. All you have to do is name the current Republic of Ireland senior manager. Name the current Republic of Ireland senior manager and you've been with a shout of winning that signed Republic of Ireland jersey from the Croatia game from Euro 2012, which was played in Poznan. So then, let's get straight into the action. Chris, we'll go to you. It certainly was an epic year for Fin Harps. In their last 9 games of the season, they picked up 13 of the available 27 points. They took 3 wins in their final 4 games to stay up, avoiding relegation and indeed avoiding the playoff final as well. It was a tremendous year, Chris.
Absolutely. Another case of the great escape. Oli Houdini-Horgan pulling off what was in the end quite remarkable outcome for Fin Harps. They started the campaign well. Was 4 matches before the enforced break, including their first home game, which resulted in a home win against Sligo Rovers. But then when they came back in August, they endured a very difficult spell. But thankfully, they came good. A marvellous run at the end of the season, getting some great results, including not just some good performances at home, but some notable away performances as well. Fin Harps getting a draw at Oriel Park against Dundalk, a side that they have struggled against hugely in recent years. And they also had that great victory at Dalymount Park. beating Bohemians 2-0, and that was Finn Harps' first win at the Phibsborough venue since 1999, when a certain Jonathan Speak was on target. So all credit to Finn Harps. They came good. That game against Waterford, which saw them winning 1-0, well, that was the game that really clinched their status for another year in the top flight. The hero was a Dubliner, Adam Foley, came to Harps and certainly made a real impression in the last number of weeks. A very powerful striker. He got that vital goal, and there were various permutations going into the last few games, and the important thing for Harps out of their hands, but elsewhere, Shelburne were beaten by Shamrock Rovers, and with Harps beating Waterford on the same evening, well, effectively, that meant that Harps were staying up, and Shells went into that relegation playoff with Longford.
I was delighted with it. Again, it was some great play by us to get down the line, and thankfully I just found myself in the right place at the right time, and it just fell for me. So I was delighted. I took my chance, and thankfully that's got us the 3 points, which is the main thing, and we're out. So now we're safe, and we just look forward now to the following game.
I'm sure it's not the best goal you've ever scored. It was almost scrambled over the line.
Yeah, it was. Look, I tried to go on my left, and the defender done well to kind of get his body in front, but once I just kept my right leg, just training leg, coming with it. So I seen the ball, and look, just got on the end of it, and thankfully, as I said to the boys, I went into the back of the net. So we were confident going into the game tonight, and yeah, look, as I said earlier on, thankfully it's after paying off for us. We done the job we had to do. We've got the goal. Lads were excellent throughout the midfield and the back. I mean, defensively unbelievable. We really everyone just put 115% in, and as I said, look, it's after getting us over the line.
Yeah, and listen, you've written yourself into the history books here at Finn Park, because that's such an important goal on a memorable night. It's just a pity there weren't any supporters here to see it, Adam.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of mentions on social media, people reaching out and congratulating us all, and again, it's just a shame that they're not here to experience it with us. Now we went over to them at the end of the night, very thankful for them all coming out on a night like tonight as well. So yeah, it's just a shame, but look, again, once everyone's safe and looking after themselves and their families, that's the main thing, you know.
Adam Foley, the man that got that goal against Waterford, of course, and that was the goal which meant Harps would be staying in the top flight of Irish football. Shelburne were condemned to the promotion relegation playoff with Longford Town, as Harps did, of course, pull it out of the bag on the final night of action. Harps boss Ollie Horgan expressed his relief as they avoided relegation.
The last couple of minutes were quite scary, as you can see, you know. Probably more relief than anything else. So it was hard going for everyone in that change room, and indeed the club in general, with the season without support. It was just, thankfully, we didn't get relegated of all years when we didn't have support here. And as Paul Higgity pointed out to me before tonight, we'd accumulated more points away from home than we had at home, and like that's purely down to the fact that there are no supporters when you go away, and in particular we don't have our own support that have been brilliant over the years, and just thankfully we're still in it for their sake. Don't mind our own, Dermot.
What do you make it all? I mean, did Harps deserve to survive in the end up, because for so long, you know, the club was written off, and Harps supporters were looking around them, seeing if they could avoid the playoffs, but this brilliant run of results in the last few weeks seems to have lifted everybody.
Yeah, look, as I said, we had the rubber the green in the last while, as we had tonight. Like against Pats here in a game where they got back to 2-2, I don't know where we found the energy and guile to get up the pitch when Ryan Connolly scored a penalty. You know, they found it. It wasn't me or Paul, to put it that way to you. I think a lot of the lads who had been there before know how tough it is, physically and particularly mentally, to week in, week out, trying to survive in this division. A lot of the lads were new to it, and to be fair to them, you know, it'll stand to them, be it, please God, with us or wherever they go. And I said that to them inside. It's hard going, Jeremy. There's no point in pretending that this is, you know, we'll get there in the end. Had that goal gone in at the end, we'd be in bits going to play Longford at the weekend. And a good Longford side is that. That's the fine margins. But we couldn't grasp here in August when we had 5 games in 12 days. We just couldn't. We you know, it's a pity we didn't get the running results earlier to see could we kick on further, you know. But look, we survived, and we'll keep going, Jeremy.
Yeah. And survive they did, and they avoided the relegation playoff as well. Jeremy Doherty, of course, our man who does the commentaries on the Harps games. Jeremy, they went to the cup game then against Shamrock Rovers with a bit of a spring in their step.
They did, Oisín. The thing about it was they'd played Shamrock Rovers in one of their final league games of the season and were beaten 2-0 at home in Balbuffet against the Rovers team that night, that were missing a few of their stronger players, and those players were back in the team for that cup match. So you were going to that match thinking, oh, it's going to be a tough one tonight, but Harps really put it up to them, Oisín. They were 2-0 in front, and a crazy start to the second half saw Shamrock Rovers awarded, what was it, 3 penalties in the space of 6 minutes. 2 of the penalties were converted by the former Derry City player Aaron McAniff. So 2 apiece at that stage, and Shamrock Rovers kicked on, got a winner and won the game by 3-2. But those big decisions by the referee in that early stage of the second half. Well, put it this way, the interviews afterwards, you know, everybody was on the same page on that one, including the Harps assistant boss, Paul Hegarty, who wasn't impressed by the performance of the match officials.
The players did what we asked of them right from the word go. We went and pressed them high up the pitch. We knew we were going to have to score 1 or 2 to win this match against them. Like, we've had some rough days against them, but the night, I think, puts a tin cap on it. I think we didn't deserve that as a club or as players on the pitch. I didn't think we got any justice out of that game tonight at all.
Did you have a chance to have a look back at footage of those incidents, Paul?
Well, I don't really need to look at the third penalty. Like, 100% he's dived. I have no doubt about that. I'm standing looking at it, straight at it. I have no doubt he's dived. And look, maybe that's part and parcel of the game, and he's got his penalty. And they won the match, so you have to take it in the chin and move on.
Dave Webster, unlucky. That was a tie to remember, but unfortunately for Harps, ending in disappointment.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. We talked about managing the game at half time. I don't think we really got a chance to. From half time to 2-2, it was just utter chaos. I think maybe from 2-2 onwards we could have managed the game a bit better. We didn't really come out second half. We were probably the best we played first half. Absolutely excellent all over the pitch, brilliant. We had them fighting with each other. They didn't know what hit them like, and it's a hard one to take. You're 2-0 up, qualifying for a cup, you're thinking you've got a semi-final, a home draw in the semi-final if you get through, and it's just, you know, it's, I don't think it'll sink in now till especially me, like I'm 31 years of age now, and hopefully it's not my last chance of a bit silverware, but you know, it could have been the one, and yeah, it's just a bitter pill to swallow at the end, I suppose.
That's Dave Webster finishing off that selection of interviews, and I think Webster summed it up perfectly there. That was an opportunity for Harps to get into a semi-final, and with home advantage in the semi-final against either Sligo Rovers or Derry City, the feeling was that they could well have got themselves into an FAA Cup final and a run out at the Aviva Stadium. And Gareth Harkin, Gareth, you were involved against Shamrock Rovers that night. Was that the feeling in the dressing room afterwards, that perhaps this was a chance that was missed by Harps?
No, definitely. Like, it was, I think the first half was probably the best we played. We had 2-0 up, and I thought we were cruising. We had them with their big players. They weren't really getting involved. Jack Byrne and Graham Burke, like, we had them all kind of stuff. I suppose the pitch was helping us because they're used to playing the carpet every week. So to come out after half time and try like nullify them in the first 15 minutes, and then the craziest 6 minutes I think I've ever been involved in, and I hope I'm never involved in something like that again. But I just couldn't see some of the penalty decisions. Like, the third one, it was a dive. Like, Graham Burke, he just was waiting for someone to touch him, and it was embarrassing because even the linesman didn't even give it. Like, he even said it wasn't a penalty, but the ref still stuck with his decision, and he had the worst view. But no, disappointing night now. Disappointing end of the year, because I honestly thought we had it. We're looking forward to a semi-final. But I suppose that's football, and that's big teams getting big decisions in that league as usual. But no, overall, it was better at the end. But when you look back, it's probably a chance we've missed too.
And when you look back on the campaign then overall, Gareth, given the fact that there was, you know, it was a stop-start season for starters, there were players coming in, people picking up injuries, you know, a loss of form then whenever we came back after the lockdown. But overall, Harps managed to survive in the Premier Division. They avoided being involved in the playoffs as well. Would that, I suppose, the success of that outweigh the disappointment of the Rovers Cup defeat?
Oh yeah, like the league was, it was like near the end, we were brilliant. Like I think the game away to Bowsbury 1-2-0 is probably the best team performance I've been involved in the years. Like for the first hour, we were 2-0 up and we were popping the ball around. We were playing very well. They had a few chances near the end, but it's probably the best overall performance we've had. The peak Pats, Drew at Dundalk, like, wasn't against small teams we were getting results, it was the bigger teams. And I thought as a team we were a lot more together. You could see it near the end, there was a lot more confidence in boys and people are getting used to playing with each other in such a short season because there was a lot of players brought in this year, so it takes time for players to gel and get to know each other. So I think in them last 5-6 games you really seen it. And because we had a wee 3-week, I think it was a 3-week break where we had games called off because other teams were getting COVID, and probably looking back, that helped us a lot because them training sessions probably brought us more together. And it kind of came out, I think the Dundalk game away was maybe the first game after that 3 weeks, and then she looked at the end we put on them. So overall, it was a very good year considering what 14 games, and we weren't far off. I think it was only about 5 points off third or fourth in the end up. So, overall, it was a very good year, very good group of lads.
And I suppose, Gareth, you touched on the fact that the Harps finished the season so well. Looking to next year, and you look at all the players like Shane McAleenie, Dave Webster, Stephen Follin, Ryan Connolly already signed, sort of the backbone of the team. And there was a feeling at the end of the year that had the season gone on longer, Harps could have gone up the table. And I suspect that even though we're in the close season now, there is a belief within the club that Harps can kick on.
Yeah, like I've said it for years, it'd be great to go in years where you're not fighting to stay up and you're not worried about a relegation playoff every year. It'd be great to climb as high as you can with that group of players there. There's a lot of experience in them names, like Shane and Stephen Fole and David Webster and Brian Connolly, like, and even Barry McNamee. Like, boys have been around the league for ages and they're good lads and they all got stuck in, got involved, and it kicked us all on too, having them caliber of players brought in. Even by Adam Foley came in near the end, and he was super. Like, I hadn't personally never played or seen him before. So he was brilliant for us up top. But yeah, you have to think about pushing on, like, as a club. You need to look up, and like this year is a perfect example of what we can do. So next year you need to be always looking higher, because personally I was delighted we weren't in a relegation playoff match again this year, because I think we've always been involved in them games and I know how tense and we could go anyway them matches. So I hope next year for Harps we can kick on and look at going up higher in that table, because it's a very competitive league and it's a hard league too. There's a lot of good teams in it and you need to have a good squad of players there to even compete and then to even think about going up the table. So I think looking at the squad last year, it's a couple of more faces in again. It's definitely potential to go higher.
And just a word also, Gareth, about the club. You've been there for many years. Great to see the academy and underage sides going so well. Behind the scenes, an awful lot of good work has been done during the past season, and this all augurs well for the future.
Yeah, like it's me eight season pass there. I've been there, and now I think Kevin McHugh would be good friends with him, and the work that he does for that academy is amazing. And you can see now there's a lot of facilities, even equipment and all, like it's improving every year, which is great to see, because at the end of the day it's a senior club. There seems to be a lot of new sponsors every year and people are getting behind the clubs, which is great, because we should have a good academy, we should have good young players coming through. My opinion, we don't have enough good young players coming through. We're such a big senior club, and this academy, Kevin does now all the work, and all the coaches do. Like, it's great to see, and I hope in years we can reap the benefits and have young guys coming out of our 19s or 17s coming into us and taking their chance, because we need that, because there is, you need youth coming through. It pushes you on seeing good young players, so it's great to see, and it's great having the people, new sponsors every year, and we need all the help we can get, because it is tough financially to run a senior club, and I see it every time I'm there.
Okay, listen, Gareth, we appreciate you taking time out of your festivities and the festive season. I hope you and the family had a happy Christmas, and we wish you all the best now in the new year in 2021. Gareth Harkin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me on. Happy Christmas to you.
Okay, good man. Gareth Harkin there, giving us the lowdown on 2020, of course, from a Fun Harps point of view. We thank him for joining us. Our next live guest will be Declan Bonham, and we're talking Gaelic games. That'll be on the way very shortly. But we still, of course, have a few more bits and bobs of soccer to do. I think, Jeremy, we'll bring you in this, because even though Shamrock Rovers did get the team of the year, their manager got the manager of the year, we're all of the same belief that Ollie Horgan probably should have got manager of the year. But one of the contenders, certainly for team of the year, Sligo Rovers, Dermot, from where they were before the lockdown arrived back in March.
Yeah, and Harps, as Chris alluded to it at the start there, Harps played Sligo Rovers in their opening match of the season, Oisín in Balbofey. Harps beat them 1-0 that night. Sligo were so disappointing, and they took an awful long time to get going. But once they came back after lockdown, they seemed to kick into gear. A good squad of players, really good team attitude, playing for each other, playing for the club, playing for the jersey, got good results, and slowly but surely began to climb up the table and finish off the campaign in a European spot, which is fantastic achievement. And again, all this going on when you know these clubs in the League of Ireland had no fans, for home matches. Oisín, we shouldn't forget that fact. And us guys going to report on matches, we were the fortunate ones, because we could still go see the games and get our enjoyment out of it each weekend. But for the supporters of the Northwest clubs up here, Derry City, Sligo Rovers and Fin Harps, we know what it means to be going watching their teams every weekend, and they lost out in that fact this season, and the clubs themselves then lost out in having that home support, which was a big, big factor. The showgrounds, never an easy place to go, so well done to them for enjoying such a successful campaign after such a difficult start.
Yeah, Chris, we'll bring you back in. It wasn't the year that Derry City had hoped for. There was a lot of expectation around the club at the start of the year, given the amount of signings that they had, and they upped their budget as well, and they were all thinking that Derry could be one of the top sides in the country in 2020. But it seems to be, after we came back from lockdown, it didn't go the way of Derry, and they couldn't get up to, I suppose, the heights of the expectation that was there from their supporters, and indeed from the management as well, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, Oisín. Expectations were high, and I think fair to say most Derry fans expecting at the start of the season that they'd be pushing for a European place, and certainly in contention for some silverware. But the season really just petered out, went into a little bit of free fall at one stage, and they had to glance nervously over their shoulders at the sides just below them in the table. And at one stage, they could even have been pipped by Harps. It was in the end, they finished just above the bottom two, sharing joint seventh in the table with Harps, but they had a better goal difference. And there will be quite a rebuilding process underway for next. Next season. It's a season that they'll really just want to write off and really forget about, and look forward to better things. Just one other word about Sligo Rovers. Kyle Callan McFadden, the Remelton native, he of course was a key figure with Sligo during his time there, and had captained the side. We wish him all the best. He's gone to England. His wife works in the health sector and is now with the English National League side, Kyle Kings Lynn Town. So He has departed for other shores.
Yeah. Moving on to the Irish League. Institute were relegated to the Championship this year. With COVID, the controversial mathematical formula being used, despite being put forward their own proposals, it fell on deaf ears and by the Northern Ireland Football League, and that was despite some backing from the clubs as well. Institute say they are dismayed, or they were dismayed at the time, that automatic relegation was being forced on them at the end of the season. Stoot sat 3 points off Warren Point Town at the bottom, and the Derry side will go down under the new plan, with Portadown set to come up from the Championship. Stoot said the solution for the season end went against what the 12 Premiership clubs had agreed upon initially. Chris, and I know you were following this story as well, Sean Connor was very, very vocal at the end of the campaign that an injustice was done with Institute. Their supporters felt that, and I think soccer fans and the soccer family in Northern Ireland all felt sorry for Institute, but with these mathematical formulas under the UEFA instruction being used right across Europe, there was always sort of going to be a fall guy in the Championship in the Irish League, wasn't there?
Yeah, and it was, you know, as you said there, it was unfortunate. Institute found themselves in that position. And again, like Derry, you know, it's a season they'll look back on, and so much frustration. And certainly they can only hope that next year can be better. And it's going to be difficult. They, of course, had the problems with their own ground a couple of seasons ago, losing the home advantage there because of the flooding issue. So it's been a very testing time for all involved in the club, but great credit to those involved for keeping them on the road, and they can only hope for better things.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to the Ulster Senior League. Cockhill Celtic crowned champions for an eighth successive year in July, Dermot.
Yeah, and well done to them. Gavin Cullen's side, once again, so impressive on their way to yet another league title. They were crowned champions when they beat Bunnagh United by 2-1. Christopher McLaughlin netted the opening goal in that game. Jimmy Bradley scored the second shortly before half time. And after the match, Oisín McColgan said the victory, the title win, was as good as the club's first.
Nah, it's great, same as every year. I know it's 8 in a row, but it's still feels as great. It's the first time we won it. The effort the boys put in all years, unbelievable. I know we're a bit of a break here, but it's to come back and finish off the job is, nah, it's great. It's great feeling.
Because last Sunday was your first game back against Letterkenny Rovers, and all of a sudden 7 days later and 3 games later, you've got the league title in the bag.
I know, coming after the break, you thought we had to get momentum, but against Letterkenny were rusty, but we got the result pretty well on Wednesday night, and the day we just got the job done.
Yeah.
It was tough, 3 games a week, but everybody had to do it, so.
And you had to come back and hit the ground running, really, because had you lost last weekend against Letterkenny, the title would have been, well, not necessarily wide open again, but they would have had a good chance to close the gap.
When you look, Letterkenny was the big one, because drop points there puts more pressure on us. Letterkenny were behind us, Bonagie were there. We knew that beating Letterkenny would have set us on the right path, so.
Yeah.
So it was. Nah, it was well done, but as we dug deep last week, so big numbers been turning, and it's great. Like, it's good effort been put in, so management and all too have been putting during the lockdown. They sort of worked extra. They sort of, we planned to come back and kick on, because it's difficult to come back after 4 months out, but proud of that as it is. Great.
Because it's something that no team has had to deal with before, you know, this long layoff from football, and they're new faces in that squad as well this year, Oisín. So all new for them too.
There's a couple of boys there with their first medal. Christy Fuldara there joined us from Glengad. He's been a brilliant player since he came. Brilliant addition. Added more attacking umph. It was great. But some of the boys' first medal, and it's great for them to get it. I know I have a few, and a few other boys have a few, but it's as great as the first medal, as I said. It's as great as the first time we won it.
So the hunger's still there?
Oh, the hunger's still there. Yeah.
That's Oisín McColgan, Cockhill Celtic defender. Ulster Senior League, of course, losing Fannagh United then this year as well. Oisín dropping down to the Donegal League. So a new chapter for Fannagh United to look forward to back at Donegal League level. And mentioning Donegal League, Kilmacrenna Celtic eventually crowned champions of the Premier Division in the Donegal League this season. And that was after you know, off the field disciplinary issues and hearings and appeals. So it was a bit of a messy end. You never want to see a league title won in that fashion. But Kilmacrenan and Celtic in the end were crowned champions. Well done to them. Fantastic achievement and a wonderful club. And well done, as I say. The Donegal League always serves up so much excitement and entertainment, and the decision a few seasons ago to introduce the playoffs and you know, the chance of promotion through the playoffs has certainly added to the entertainment factor there. So, you know, clubs, even though they might be in a mid-table position at the midway point of a season, still have this chance of moving up into the a top three spot, which would give them a chance of a playoff position. And I think that was a fantastic move, and well done to all the clubs who enjoyed success there this season in the various divisions at Saturday League level two and in the cup competitions. And in the Inishowen League, Aileach FC were the top team in Inishowen, winning the Premier Division. They also won the Buncrana Cup, and Clonmany won the First Division, the Charlie O'Donnell Cup and the Father O'Gara Cup. And on the international front, Oisin, a strange year as well. New team manager in Stephen Kenny. Seamus Coleman has had his problems with injury, in and out of the Everton team, in and out of the Republic of Ireland team. Amber Barrett had a busy year as well on the international front. Unfortunately for Tyler Tolan, she still seems to be on the sidelines as far as the international scene is concerned, but she's doing the business with Glasgow following her move from Manchester City. Ronan Curtis also featuring on the international level too, so all good on that front.
Yeah, Chris?
And also, just to mention, good to see the Donegal women's team, the under-17 team, taking part in the National League, and let's hope that we'll see a senior Donegal ladies side involved in the years to come as well.
Yeah, and of course they won a trophy the day before Christmas Eve, didn't they? They won the Under-17 National League Shield as they beat Bray Wanderers at Oriel Park in Dundalk, and congratulations to Breed McGinty and Johnny Baird and of course everyone involved there. Okay, that brings an end to our soccer review for 2020. We're going to go for a commercial break. We'll give you a competition. We've got a signed Republic of Ireland Euro 2012 championship jersey up for grabs from the game which they played at Croatia back in June 2012 in Poznan. We'll give you the competition details, and we're going to be joined by Donegal boss Declan Boner after these.